I've tried every miracle cream out there, and most of them end up in my bathroom graveyard. You know, that shelf of broken promises. But KPS Essentials actually works and keeps working. My skin feels smoother, hydrated, and alive again. Not fake, just healthy. Whatever this Dermanew technology is, my skin's clearly into it. It's like skincare with a PhD. They're clean, small batch, and trusted by doctors and five-star spas, and now by me. Go to kpsessentials.com and take the skin quiz. It'll match your skin to exactly what it needs. Because healthy, happy skin shouldn't be a miracle.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
It's the time of the week when we go up to Madrid and speak to Simon Hunter at El País. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles.
Yes, my name is always a good one, isn't it, for the Spanish? Giles or Gilo, whatever. So
well, you just call me Don Simon, which is what I get whenever I speak to Movistar on the phone. They call me Don Simon, like the cheap red wine.
Indeed. Well, the other thing is the fact that when you speak to people because you're apellidos, you know, because being sort of Anglo-Saxon, you know, my middle name is Norman. So it's... Oh, excuse me. Sorry. It was my grandfather's name. Excuse me.
Excuse me for laughing.
So excuse me. Norman Conquest and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, I am always referred to as, you know, Señor Norman Bran, which is always quite interesting because of our apellidos, our second names.
Absolutely. Well, I have two middle names. So I mean, it's just a complete lottery. I answer to John, Peter, Simon, Hunter. I mean, some people in the building still think my name is Hunter for
as
some
in,
reason.
As in the Andalucía, Hunter de Andalucía with a hot thing.
Hunter, yeah.
Right. Now then, away from this, onto the subjects that have been making the headlines in Spain. It has been, if you like, a week full, serious news. And so, what some are saying is the Me Too movement of Spain.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the San Fermín's rape trial, which came to a head last week when the sentence was read out by one of the judges from the three-judge panel who tried the case up in Navarre. Obviously, this is I'm going to step very carefully around some of the details of the case because it's a lot of it's not very pleasant, obviously. But I mean, let's face it, the running of the Bulls festival fiestas, they've had a problem with sexism and, or you know, kind of, there's all these famous photos of, you know, it's a really wild party, basically. Aside from the running of the Bulls, it's a really wild party that goes on in Pamplona for about 10 days. Loads of people get in the squares. Everyone's dressed in white with those red neckerchiefs. And there's always these photos every year of women getting groped in the square or covered in wine. And there's been, in recent years, there's been a real sort of backlash against this kind of sexism and the treatment of women at the fiestas. And then, of course, in 2016, we got this terrible case of a sexual assault. These five men who were known as La Manada, which is the pack, translated as the pack or the wolf pack, so named because that's the name of their WhatsApp chat group. I mean, these guys are pretty despicable human beings, and not just based on what happened in San Fermín's, but they're also subsequently to this case, videos of them basically groping a passed out girl in the back of their car and you know, just details of their just generally sort of despicable behavior towards women started to emerge. And what happened on this night in question is that they met the 18-year-old victim who a young girl had been out drinking and partying at the San Fermín's, as she has every right to do, as you know, thousands of people do every year. And within minutes of meeting her, they ushered her into a doorway, removed her clothes, and then proceeded to basically have sex with her, recording what happened on their cell phones. They then stole her cell phone so that she couldn't call for help, and basically left the scene. And she was discovered by some passers-by, reported it, and then, of course, it went to trial. And I think really everyone was very, very concerned about what the outcome of the trial was going to be. And then, of course, last week they read out the trial. They sentenced the five men to 9 years in jail But here's the key point. They sentenced them for sexual abuse and not sexual assault. The public prosecutor had been calling for them to be convicted on charges of sexual assault, which is obviously basically rape, which carries a much stiffer sentence. So, you know, as much as 22 years in jail. And instead of that, they got off with 9 years. They've already served 2 years with good behavior. They could be out very, very soon. They also have to pay the victim compensation. And also they've been, you know, slapped with all sorts of injunctions and restraining orders to, so they keep away from her. The ruling was really interesting. The ruling was 340 pages long, but 200 pages of that were written by one of the judges. It was his, it was what they call in Spanish his voto personal, his personal vote. He actually voted for these men, for the five men, to be acquitted. He spent 200 pages basically saying that, you know, he just used the most extraordinary language, saying that the videos of the defendants took of their encounter with the victim showed five men and a woman practicing sexual acts in an atmosphere of revelry and delight. And he made a really big thing about the fact that she didn't seem to be putting up any opposition at all. And this is really sort of been where the you know, this is the key part of the case. You know, was there consent or was there not consent? The ruling immediately sparked outrage throughout Spain, and there were protests called. People got out in the streets straight away, basically, and these protests were repeated over the weekend. And as you mentioned, people have since been sharing their, or women, I should say, have been sharing their stories of sexual assault or sexual harassment on social media using the hashtag Cuéntalo, which is, you know, tell the story, basically, a bit like the Me Too movement. Now, what's been interesting this week, so obviously this happened last week, so we've kind of, you know, had the fallout, but the plot, it just seems, I don't know what's going on this year, as with the story that we're going to discuss next, all these seemingly normal stories just keep taking these really surreal turns. And it certainly took a bit of a surreal turn earlier this week. The central government last week weighed in on the case, saying it's going to review the laws. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Spain's laws are pretty outdated on this kind of issue. And people are arguing that the criminal code needs to be updated to get rid of this grey area when it comes to consent. But then the justice minister, Spain's, you know, national justice minister, Rafael Catalá, he weighed in with some pretty extraordinary comments on Monday. He sort of basically smeared this judge. He said that he said everyone in a radio interview, he said everyone knows that this judge has a unique problem. He didn't specify what that problem was, and then he expressed his surprise that the legal watchdog in Spain has not taken action against him. Now, as far as anyone knows, this judge doesn't seem to have any sort of outstanding investigations against him or have done anything that would particularly warrant that kind of comment. But then, of course, I mean, this is the justice minister to say that is pretty much, you know, a massive issue when it comes to separation of powers, the independence of the judiciary. And not surprisingly, judge and prosecutor associations in Spain immediately demanded his resignation. His party, the Popular Party, seems to have sort of hung him out to dry a little bit, and no one's kind of commenting, in either way, with regards to what he said. But yeah, we're going to have to see what happens, because bizarrely, that, you know, this case could end up costing the career of the current justice minister in Spain, which certainly is a bit of an unexpected turn. As for the case now, obviously we're going to see appeals. The defence have said they're going to appeal. The prosecution are going to appeal. It's probably likely that the case will end up in the Supreme Court. So that will be very interesting. That's not going to happen quickly. Obviously, the wheels of the Spanish justice system move particularly slowly, but it is going to be interesting to see what happens and if the sentence ends up being overturned, or if they end up facing more jail time. But it's certainly, if there's anything positive that can come out of this story, it is that people are talking now about this issue of sexual abuse and sexual harassment in Spain in perhaps a way that they weren't And also, we're going to run a story in English today that came out in Spanish about how Spain is relatively low on the list in terms of the number of people that actually report rape cases, pretty much because of a mistrust of the system or because of the treatment that they receive at the hands of the police or prosecutors. So it's certainly got the debate going at a time when it's a hot topic the world over. So at least we can take that positive out from it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when Zapatero was in power, there was all the talk about, you know, the Zapatero women being in government and this being turning over a new page. And here we are, 8 years, 10 years down the line, and it seems that we haven't made any progress. And movements like Cuéntalo, some of the stories that are coming out, and just casual sexism, you know, from family members to other family members, and these girls saying, you know, we can't go out at night. It's, you know, reporting crimes and saying police officers are saying, yes, but you are quite pretty, aren't you? I mean, just stuff that modern European society should have moved on from.
Absolutely. And I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a woman in Spain who hasn't been on the receiving end of some kind of this of this kind of behavior. So yeah, it's pretty shocking. It's a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for Spanish society, and we can but hope that this will help serve to change some attitudes.
Now then, a bit of news closer to home for you in the capital, with a little laugh there already, Simon, with the president of the community from Madrid, whiter than white, her hands in that famous picture were so clean. Tell me more.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we didn't get to chat last week because this would have been, you know, my top story last week. But it's such an amazing story that I wanted to talk about it this week and kind of finish it off, because I've been talking to Bill about it as it's been rumbling along since I think it broke maybe the end of March, the first part of this. But this, just to very quickly sum up the background. So this was the regional premier of Madrid, Cristina Cifuentes, who's from the Conservative Popular Party, but actually was quite a popular figure among you know, non-supporters of the Popular Party. She seemed quite a modern person. She's I can't remember exactly how many. She's got about 5 tattoos apparently. She was fairly popular. Then this whole scandal broke out about her master's degree, which she was supposed to have got from, it was a master's degree in law that she got from her local university in Madrid about 7 years ago. And all of these, this newspaper got hold of all of these irregularities, the fact that signatures had been forged on her certificate, that the grades had been manually changed in the system, and she couldn't produce her thesis, which he should have obviously written to get the degree, and should have actually defended in front of a panel of professors and lecturers. That day when she was supposed to have done that, she was actually working as the government delegate in Madrid, and she was overseeing the return of the Spanish football team from one of their successes in an international tournament. So how on earth she could have done that, the two things at the same time, no one knows. But her argument all the way through was, look, I did what the university told me I had to do to get this degree. And really what it's turned into is a case of, you know, blatant favoritism in the university, which has lots of, you know, very strong links to the Popular Party. Other politicians' CVs came under scrutiny as well. And mysteriously, all sorts of qualifications and honorary titles started disappearing off the public profiles of plenty of politicians in the wake of this. So all the way along, and this was going on for, I think the whole thing lasted nearly 4 weeks, and she just refused to resign. She wasn't going to go. And then last week, the most extraordinary news story broke, that basically this security video from a Madrid supermarket emerged. And basically, it was Cifuentes had been taken into his back room, the security of the supermarket, by a security guard, because she tried to steal 2 tubs of Oil of Ulay face cream. I mean, you just could not make this up. It's just the most bizarre thing. And in the video, you see her there. She's getting her bag searched. There's quite a long conversation. She's, you know, rooting around for a receipt. And when she can't produce a receipt, she coughs up the money and pays the €40. So as soon as that came out, I think it was last Wednesday, it came out on Wednesday morning, and a hastily convened press conference, and we were like, okay, right, now she's finally going to resign. She gave she spoke to the press. She's in this press conference. She said some extraordinary things. She said that the incident was an involuntary mistake. Now, I don't know about you, Giles. How many times have you gone into a supermarket and involuntarily stolen something?
Oh, I have to check myself before I leave. I haven't got those two pots of all of you, like, because obviously when you look as good as I do for the radio, you know, I mean, exactly. That, to get that skin freshness and the elasticity, it has to be gone. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, we were all, the whole of the newsroom, we were all crowded around the TVs watching, you know, watching her give this statement. And when she said that, I mean, just everyone just burst out laughing. What an extraordinary thing to say. But actually, there's some really interesting elements here. Who had that video? Who leaked the video? Who sat on that video from the year 2011 and then decided, okay, enough is enough. We've got to get Cifuentes out of here. It's very, very suspicious. And it just kind of, it's almost like, I can't remember, what's the word for that, you know, related to the Trump case? It's that word for the Russians have for compromising material that, you know, you kind of sit on and just, I can't remember what the word is, but, you know, it just smacks of that. It just smacks of that, those kind of practices that, you know, we'd all really, really like to know where this came from, whether it came from our own party, whether it came from some sort of, you know, even maybe the government, the Secret Service are acting on behalf of the government. I mean, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories abounding. And and this was really interesting. Podemos, the left-wing anti-austerity party, they actually really attacked. They were really critical of the what happened and said, you know, she should have, you know, Cifuentes should have resigned, but she should have resigned for lying about the master's degree. She shouldn't have been stitched up like this and basically subjected to a complete character assassination. I mean, Cifuentes actually said, you know, well, this video has been around for a while, and someone had tried to blackmail her with it before, so she was well aware that it was there. So it was quite interesting that in some quarters that the reaction was, you know, okay, well, she should have gone, but this was completely beyond the pale. And then, of course, so she resigned. So it's kind of thrown the regional Popular Party into a crisis. We've got elections coming up next year. And this is the key thing. The Popular Party was only able to form a government in the regional assembly because they did a deal with Ciudadanos, the Citizens Party, because they basically didn't have the votes, they didn't have the seats. So they did a deal with Ciudadanos, but Ciudadanos made the Popular Party sign this anti-corruption commitment before they were going to government with them, which included if anyone is found to, you know, be faking their CV or lying on their CV, then they should immediately resign. And lo and behold, that's exactly what's happened with Cifuentes. You know, she basically all these kind of irregularities about her CV and her master's degree. And so now it's just a question of, well, where does that leave, you know, the regional government, and what's going to happen next year if, again, they don't win enough seats to form a government? You know, how are they going to form a government? We're going to end up with another hung parliament, basically, but this time in the Madrid Regional Assembly. It's pretty extraordinary.
I mean, you know, we're based down in Andalusia, okay, and normally, I've got quite used to going, stuff coming out of Sevilla, because the junta can be quite interesting, to put it mildly, and, you know, we've got the ongoing situation with the ERE, the ERE scandal, and all sorts of people being called up there. But the Madrid, you know, the president of Madrid, I mean, after Esperanza Aguirre as well, it's a bit of a chalice, isn't it? And who's up next for it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's talk about the deputy PM, Soraya Santa Maria, coming in to save the day. I mean, she's pretty well respected. She hasn't put a foot wrong since she's been in government. And, you know, let's be honest, she's been doing a lot of Rajoy's grunt work, because, as we all know, the Prime Minister Rajoy, he kind of likes to sort of sit back and let events play out without taking too much of an active role. But this is really interesting. Today, it's another national holiday. It's a regional holiday here today in Madrid, because it's our regional day, May the 2nd. It's the Dos de Mayo celebrations are going on today. But the four former Popular Party regional premiers will not be attending any of the celebrations today, because all of them, either directly or indirectly are caught up in corruption scandals. So that's Alberto Ruiz Gallardón, who used to be in government as well. He was the justice minister in government. You've got Esperanza Aguirre, who's been in all sorts of problems in recent years, mostly because of the team that was around her, plenty of whom have been in jail, in and out of jail in recent years. And not forgetting, of course, that famous time when she tried to run away, drive away from the police. Do you remember this story that she...
running over policemen. Yeah, yeah.
She parked on the Grand Via to go and take cash out of a cash machine. And a policeman was trying to fine her for it. And she just was like, right, I've had enough of this. I'm off. And she just drove off and got chased by police through Madrid. And then, of course, you've got Cifuentes. And then you've got, who's the fourth one? Granados, I think, who I was referring to just now. He's been in and out of jail for another corruption scandal. So, yeah, a great big mess. And really... just shows that even though things have been changing in recent years, ever since the crisis, you know, their tolerance among the Spanish public for corruption has just, you know, weathered away bit by bit. But, you know, still a lot of work to do.
Well, if I was in Madrid, I'd be concentrating on the football results, to be honest with you, after last night. So they're probably all. That's probably the excuse. We can't go out because we were celebrating Real Madrid against Bayern Munich last night in the Bernabeu. Simon, if people want to find out some more information, of course, excellent website to find out more about what's going on in Spain.
Yeah, just Google us, El País English Edition, and if you search for the same phrase on Facebook and Twitter, you'll find us on the social networks as well.
Simon Hunter from El País. We'll speak, because I'm on for Bill next week as well. We'll speak next week.
Great. Thanks so much, Josh.
Take care.
I've tried every Miracle cream out there, and most of them end up in my bathroom graveyard. You know, that shelf of broken promises. But KPS Essentials actually works and keeps working. My skin feels smoother, hydrated, and alive again. Not fake, just healthy. Whatever this Dermanew technology is, my skin's clearly into it. It's like skincare with a PhD. They're clean, small batch, and trusted by doctors and five-star spas, and now by me. Go to kpsessentials.com and take the skin quiz. It'll match your skin to exactly what it needs. Because healthy, happy skin... shouldn't be a miracle.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.